that I think deal well with our gospel lesson. First, the first story. As you listen to this story, many of us are like the knife in the following story. A small boy thought his pocket knife was to be used for sticking into the ground or flicking it into the tree. His grandfather watched as the boy used the knife in this common way for many days. Then his grandfather said, "Let me show you what you can do with that." He found a piece of kindling and carved an intricate design of circles and stars. Then he said, "Let me show you something else." He took some soft wood, whittled it, gouged it, cut it, shaved it for about a half hour. When he was finished, the boy was staring at a smiling, bearded face which had emerged from the block of wood. Smiling from ear to ear, his grandfather said again, "Let me show you something." He went to the refrigerator, and using the knife's bottle opener, he opened two bottles of soda. "There," his grandfather said, "you can see there are a lot of good things you can do with this knife." The boy smiled, looked in amazement at this very, very special knife. Many times our gifts, our talents are like that knife. God gave us something beautiful, something which can do a lot of good things. But placed in our hands, we don't know quite what to do with it. Placing these gifts in God's hands, placing our lives in God's hands, then we can see how wonderful these gifts are. We can see what truly wonderful things we can accomplish with God's gift. Second story. A pastor wrote this story. "I was approached by a foreign student whose relatives with whom she was living had become unemployed. At the same time, she was called by her family saying her parents were ill and needed her help. Could she return? The request came to me. Could the church help? Facing a $1,000 ticket, which was more than the discretionary fund in the church budget would allow, I decided to ask some individuals. I selected seven individuals. Five didn't even want to hear the details of the story and said, 'Pastor, if you need the check, it's yours.' Of the two who had some reason for the put off and a very nice couched refusal, both represented the wealthiest persons with the most means." The third story. Are you a risk taker or a safety seeker? Responding to the increasing destructive high winds in the Midwest, one developer in Tulsa, Oklahoma, offered an optional tornado-safe room in the new homes he was selling. It cost an additional $2,500 for the room, which can also be used as a closet, a bathroom, or vault when not needed for safety. What would you do if you were building your home there? Now, having lived through tornadoes in the Midwest growing up, I know what I would do. I might lean towards the tornado-safe room. Tornadoes can be scary. And if you opted for the room, you were like 9 of the first 10 buyers. The 10th couple didn't get the room. They chose to have a hot tub installed instead. Why do you think they did that? Were they foolish young folks? No, they were 75 years old. I suppose they figured if the good Lord had gotten them through 75 years without being killed by a tornado, he would get them through as many more. They chose. They'd rather enjoy the jacuzzi and not worry about tornadoes. These stories illustrate the two points in our gospel lesson today. Jesus is making a point that we should risk. We should risk. And the second point, we should use the gifts he gives us to his glory. Now, at first glance, this parable seems like capitalism gone wrong. It would seem Jesus is saying that the rich get richer. For Jesus said, a man was going on a journey and gave 5 talents to one servant, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to yet another, each according to his ability. Then the man returns and wants to know what happened to that which he gave each man. The first 2 servants used what the master had given them and made more. But the 3rd servant didn't do anything with what was given him. Notice the master didn't ask the 2 servants for the talents back, but was pleased because they did something, that with which was given to them. The first 2 servants took a risk for the future and were willing to risk that which was given them. And that is the point. Jesus is telling each of us that we have been given talents, gifts, abilities, and we should use those for the kingdom of heaven. He was saying to the 3rd that he really did not care how much he had gotten back from the investment, but he was angry that the servant did nothing with what was given to him. Jesus, again, making a point that we should risk. We are like the child who did not want his flower seeds to get wet, rot, and die. So he placed them in a jar, screwed the lid on tightly, buried the jar in the flower bed, and waited in vain for something to grow. A year later, he still had dry flower seeds, but he had no flowers. Martin Luther's statement that we are to sin boldly comes to mind. He's not saying we should sin, but he is saying we need to risk to try, to be bold in our relationship with God and our neighbor. Each of us has been given just so much time on this earth, whether we live to be over 100 or a fraction of that. Our time is limited. Jesus is saying in this parable, we should use that time wisely. We need to use the time for our faith journey, for our families, for our neighbors. One more story. It's a story about 1,000 marbles that may help illustrate what Jesus means. It begins this way. The older I get, the more I enjoy Saturday mornings. Perhaps it's the quiet solitude that comes with being the first to rise. Or maybe it's the unbounded joy of not having to be at work. Either way, the first few hours of a Saturday morning are most enjoyable. A few weeks ago, I was shuffling toward the basement shack with a steaming cup of coffee in one hand and the morning paper in the other. What began as a typical Saturday morning turned into one of those lessons that life seems to hand you from time to time. Let me tell you about it. I turned the dial up into the phone position on the band of my ham radio to listen to a Saturday morning swap net. Along the way, I came across an older sounding chap with a tremendous signal and a golden voice. You know the kind. He sounded like he should have been in the broadcasting business. He was telling whoever he was talking with something about 1,000 marbles. I was intrigued and stopped to listen to what he had to say. Well, Tom, it sounds like you are busy with your job. I'm sure they pay you well, but it's a shame you must be away from home and your family so much. Hard to believe a young fellow should have to work 60 or 70 hours a week to make ends meet. Too bad you missed your daughter's dance recital. He continued. Let me tell you something, Tom, something that has helped me keep a good perspective on my own priorities. And that's when he began to explain this theory of 1,000 marbles. You see, I sat down one day and did a little arithmetic. The average person lives about 75 years. I know some live more, some live less, but on average, folks live about 75 years. Now then, I multiplied 75 times 52, and I came up with 3,900, which is the number of Saturdays that the average person has in their lifetime. Now stick with me, Tom. I'm getting to an important part here. It took me until I was 55 years old to think about all this in any detail. He went on, and by that time, I lived through over 2,800 Saturdays. I got to thinking that if I lived to be 75, I only had about 1,000 of them left to enjoy. So I went to a toy store and bought every single marble they had. I ended up having to visit 3 toy stores to round up 1,000 marbles. I took them home and put them inside a large, clear plastic container, right here in the shack next to my gear. Every Saturday since then, I have taken one marble out and throw it away. I found that by watching the marbles diminish, I focused more on the really important things of life. There's nothing like watching your time here on this earth run out to help get your priorities straight. Now let me tell you one last thing before I sign off with you and take my lovely wife out to breakfast. This morning I took the very last marble out of the container. I figure if I make it until next Saturday, well, then I have been given a little extra time. And the one thing we can all use is a little more time. Well, it was nice to meet you, Tom. I hope you spend more time with your family, and I hope to meet you again. This is K9NZQ, clear and going QRT. Good morning. Did I get that right, Rick? Was I close? Okay. You could have heard a pin drop on the band when this fellow signed off. I guess he gave us all a lot to think about. I had planned to work on the antenna that morning, and then I was going to meet up with a few hams to work on the next club newsletter. Instead, I went upstairs, woke up my wife with a kiss. "Come on, honey, I'm taking you and the kids to breakfast." "What brought this on?" she asked with a smile. "Oh, nothing special. It's just been a long time since we spent a Saturday together with the kids." "Hey, can we stop at a toy store while we're out? I need to buy some marbles." On this Commitment Sunday, on this Consecration Sunday, it is good to remember our time, our talents, our gifts are from God. We are to use these gifts to honor Him, our neighbor, and our family in Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.